Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
Ah, the Duke is with us morning. Duke, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Cozzy. Welcome on to Going Greyhounds this 28th day of November 2016. As always, a massive show coming up. Had some big racing over the weekend, particularly down in Ballarat, where we had heats of the Group 2 Ballarat Cup. And I'll talk with Jamie Ennis, who's got two runners engaged in the final this coming Friday night. We'll also speak with Anthony Azzopardi, who could have a big 24 hours because he's got Topper Toretto going around in the Dapto Puppy Classic final, and he'll start the favourite Zambora Brocky in the Group 2 Ballarat Cup final. And on Saturday night at Ipswich, it was a big night there with the Group 3 Ipswich Gold Cup run. Tony Brett provided the Quinella in 30 talks, which defeated the kennel mate Zabden Ferrari. Master Jackpot finished third, and Jury, another of Tony's, it finished in fourth spot. And I'll chat with Tony a little bit later in the program and talk about those dogs heading into the heats of the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup to be held at Albion Park this Thursday night. And this Saturday brings down the end of an era. The iconic Tweed Heads Border Park Racetrack will be no longer after this Saturday. It's been sold. We've spoken to Steve McGrath in the past. We're going to have another chat to him today to find out what he's got planned for a massive day on the Tweed this Saturday. But on Thursday night at Dapto, we had four semi-finals of the Dapto Puppy Classic. Topper Toretto for Anthony Azzopardi was the favourite, running 29.49 in the first of those semis. Mornington Star for Phil Goodsall ran 30.37. Too Good Tomo beat Ben Teke in 30.09 for Mark Bell. And Notorious Thief for Phil Sini defeated Soft Gambler in the last of the semi-finals to race its way into that final on Thursday night. And that greyhound ran, I can tell you, 30.31. But the fastest by far was Topper Toretto. And his trainer, Anthony Azzopardi, a regular on Going Greyhounds, joined us this morning. Good morning, Ant.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Not too bad. It could be a big 24 hours for you.
Yeah, it could be. You never know. It's dog racing. Anything can happen, I suppose.
Let's talk about Topper Toretto. Has he surprised you in recent weeks? Because we only have to go back a couple of weeks and we were standing in the car park at Sandown and you said, gee whiz, I didn't think that dog had run that sort of time at Dapto. That was before his heat when he ran 29.64.
Yeah, no, he sort of started to really step up to the plate, believe it or not. He was going good down here. He's going like he holds his own, but certainly hasn't showed that, you know, that time he's put on the board at Dapto here at the moment. But look, leading into it, he's took about three or four tenths off his trial times, you know, and he's come up good at the right time.
He kicked off his career at Richmond back in April of this year. He's by Collision out of Cadance. Cadance, a former chaser trained by Mark Gatt, who won a Bulleye Gold Cup, bred by Francis Harris, who's also got Topper Sway in the race. So the little brothers are in the final this week. You've got a mortgage on box four with Topper Toretto, Ant, because he had box four in his heat when he ran 29.64, box four in the semi, 29.49. He's drawn box four in the final this week. Ben Teke sitting up in box one. Have you had a chance to analyse the race and what you think may happen in that run of the first turn?
Yeah, look, obviously he's a real life chance, obviously, but I don't think he's badly boxed, you know. He got the three, he's sort of not a real quick beginner. The two gets out okay. Ben Dicko, you know, he's a bit slow early, you know, and I reckon he might get the fly to the first turn. I know the five wants to shift off a little bit at the start, so he's going to get plenty of room, but he likes to crash to the fence as well. So, you know, the box is not a bad box for him, really. Well, he's used to it anyway, nearly every week.
He sure is. He ran 5.39 last week, 5.39 the week before. And as I said, that 29.49 was, I guess, a bit of a surprise to think that he ran 29.98, you know, odd when he won there first up. Can he go quicker, mate? I mean, is it a case with a clear run that the dog's improving that much that he's still got a little bit left in the tank?
I don't think he's got nothing left in, like, improvement. I think that's him now. You know, he's hit that mark. I always thought he'd run the 60-something, the 70s probably, you know, but not at that stage, that preparation. So he's had a little light preparation lead into it. But, look, I don't think he'll improve that 29-49 run, you know.
Doesn't matter if they run 30 and 49, as long as he wins.
That's it. That's all it counts, really, doesn't it?
And you've got a good record in the race. You took it out last year with Francois, who you then sent to Queensland in early this year, and he took out the Group 2 Queensland Derby as well.
Yeah, no, he was a nice little dog, you know, and he had him for a short time. You know, we pre-trained him and that, and he won a couple group races for us, and he started getting vanished after that. So, but look, he was a good little dog. He's, you know, he's doing well still, too, you know, down in Western Australia. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you
nice
could.
Nice to win it again.
It would be nice to win two on the bounce. $70,000 to the winner on Thursday night. Let's talk about Friday night, the Group 2 Ballarat Cup final. And Zambora Brocky bounced back after what you and I have both discussed was probably, on face value, a little bit of a disappointing performance in the Melbourne Cup. Thought his run on Friday night, Ant, was terrific. He checked off the leader's heels, Laura Millad, at a really crucial point in the race. But his last 100 metres was absolutely fantastic. He's drawn box three this Friday night, box two, I should say. Judicial Man and Zinzan Brook drawn either side of him. We're going to speak with Jamie Ennis in just a moment. Do you want him to come out running and lead, or do you want him to sit behind Judicial Man and Zinzan Brook in the early stage?
I like to see him sitting behind him really this week. You know, them two dogs have got a lot of great pace, you know, and we don't want to go three to the corner. Judicial Man, he sort of likes to move off the track a little bit and might cause a bit of carnage, you know, but if we can get the sit on him, I'll be more happy, you know.
How did he pull up after Friday night's run with that check? As I said, it was at a really crucial stage, and he went up in the air a little bit. He's not a dog that over-exaggerates a check that he gets in running, but he had to pull out, and then he raced around them.
Yeah, no, he's pulled up fine, you know, thank God. He's pulled up good. I was a bit worried, but the way he ran in the straight, you see there was nothing wrong with him, you know, and yeah, no, he's pulled up good. So he gets his little workout tomorrow morning and, yeah, and then see what happens on Friday.
You'll keep him on the lead after Tuesday morning up the straight at home?
Yeah, mate, only going to give him a light free gallop. That's about it. I don't have to sort of work him hard. Been over 450, so he only get a free gallop, do what he wants to do, and that's it.
He's flown at Ballarat before too. He's run 24.87, 25.30, way back in the early part of his career back in June last year. And do you think Zambora Brocky's a better two-turn dog, or is he a better one-turn dog? Look, we know he's a super sprinter, but in your opinion as the trainer, do you think he's better suited to the one-turn or the two-turns?
I reckon he's better suited one-turn, really, because he can really, you know, if he happens to miss it, he's got that great pace, you know, and it's a real long back straight, you know, these one-turns. And, I like him on one-turns more than two-turns, to be honest with you. He's hardly ever been beaten on a one-turn, really.
I'm just trying to think. Well, probably Shepparton in the heat of the Shep Cup when he got injured.
Yeah, that's probably it, you know. And I think he got beat at Bulleye at a young age, you know. But, look, really, his strike rate on a one-turn track and his times are just absolutely flying, you know. And I trial him, so, like, he's been – that's his home track, Ballarat. And he'll run 21.5, 21.6 every time I put him around there, you know, over the 390. So – you know, I like him on one turn more than two turns, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, and you're right, he is a flying machine on the one-turn track. He won the Group 2 Warrnambool Cup and he won the Group 2 Horsham Cup. And, of course, that leads into this Friday night where the prize money, I mean, it's sensational anyway for a Group 2 event, is $77,000 to the winner. Not only that, because Zambora Brocky has won two Group 2 events during the year in Victoria, a $50,000 bonus. $127,000. Thank you very much if he wins.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell him that.
He can't listen to us. He doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it's a massive prize money, isn't it? It's the heart of racing, isn't it, Victoria? You know, the prize money's good, and, mate, it's something to look forward to. You know, these little bonuses are such great for the sport, too. You know, it tosses everyone, you know, have a dog to go for it. And, you know, we're in the firing line. We'll see what happens.
I wanted to ask you, it's been 10 months now. You made the move from Londonderry to Victoria. How many question marks were in your head when you decided to actually go down there? I mean, were you thinking, look, I'm successful in New South Wales, you were the leading trainer in New South Wales last year, to up stumps, move down there? What was going through your mind, mate?
Oh, it was hard, you know, like, I've been in New South Wales all my life, you know, and still I call it home too, you know, like, I do miss it quite a bit too, you know, my family being there and that. There was a lot of questions like, you know, are we going to succeed here, you know, like, moving places. You just don't know what's around the corner, but I was a bit worried, like, in ways, like, you know, we're making a nice living in New South Wales, you know, going to Wentworth Park and that. But I needed a change, I'll be honest with you. And I sort of, the change done me a world of good because I was getting a bit stale there and things weren't running as good as I want them to run there as well, you know. And look, I thought, well, this is the place I want to be, the race dogs. And I nearly changed my mind about three or four times, to tell you the truth, but I'm glad I didn't because everyone's happy and we've done really well since we've been here, you know.
And would it be fair to say that when you made that decision, you're at the crossroads, even given how successful you were you actually tossing up as to whether or not you continue being a greyhound trainer?
Yeah, it was. Me and my missus had a good talk in Kayla and that, and I was at a stage that either hang up the leading collar and just move to Victoria, you know, and it's something I didn't really want to do either, you know, this in my blood, you know. I don't know how long I would have lasted if I did it, but I just was so stale racing there and just things were happening in New South Wales I just wasn't happy with, you know, and so, yeah, look, it was a decision that could have been made quite easily to hang up the leading collar, that was for sure.
All right. Well, you've kicked plenty of goals. You continue to be one of Australia's top trainers, and doesn't matter where you train, mate, you're still able to do that. Best of luck with Top of Toretto in the Dapto Puppy Classic on Thursday night, and, of course, with Zambora Brocky in the Ballarat Cup final on Friday, mate.
Thanks, Mark.
Anthony has a party there, and from one leading Victorian trainer to another, Jamie Ennis, one of my form experts on At The Boxes, joins us on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Jamie.
Good evening, Jake.
You probably hold the key to the Ballarat Cup. You've got Judicial Man drawn in box one, Zinzan Brook in box three, and in between those two dogs is Zambora Brocky in box two.
Yeah, that's right.
In your opinion, mate, what's going to happen at Box Rise?
Oh, look, you know, just in my opinion, I've never seen Judicial Man being crossed at the start before since I've had him, so I doubt Zambora Brocky will be able to cross him at Box Rise or in the first 100 or 200 metres. Obviously, it just all depends on how Brocky does begin and whether or not they hinder each other's chances, or if Brocky runs in a straight line, he will probably get his chance to gun him down late. With the other dog, Zinzan Brook, I probably haven't had a dog that can show as much mid-race pace as what he can. And running his second split the other day in 11:08, it wouldn't surprise me if he did burn them both off at some stage of the race. But it's probably all going to depend on whether Brocky's going to be desperate for the fence and try to cut Judicial Man off and hinder each other's chances. But, you know, if Brocky does get that clear run, just sitting in behind him, he's going to be gunning them down late and probably hard to beat. But if they do hinder each other's chances, Judicial Man and Brocky, well, I'd say Zinzan Brook will be really hard to beat.
They're litter brothers. They're by Knock and Norris out of All Fired Up. They were bred and initially trained by Wayne Thompson up in Queensland. And Zinzan Brook, he's only had the 13 starts for 11 wins. Has he got under the guard of a few people, do you think, Jay?
Oh, I don't think so. Anyone who sort of asked me, I've sort of always rated him, you know, since I started trialling him, and probably even more for so in the last 3 weeks that I sort of rated him a bit better than Judicial Man. Until last week, probably it was doubtful that was the case, but he was really impressive on Friday night, and I do think there is natural improvement just in fitness-wise in the dog. I just had a little hiccup after Bendigo with him, you know, leading into the cup heats, and I do think this week that he'll run to the line a little bit stronger Therefore, you know, when you're running around the 25 mark, you're always going to be putting yourself into the race.
As I said, they were bred by Wayne Thompson, who did a terrific job with them in the early parts of their careers and that. And he placed placed both dogs really well, whether it was at Capalabar or looking for the right races at Ipswich and that. In this Friday night's final, what are the traits that we'll see from Judicial Man off the inside and Zinzan Brook in as far as when they get to that first turn, do they want to shift off or will they race in the middle of the track or will Judicial Man stick to the rails?
Oh, from my point of view, I think they've drawn the right way around. Judicial Man, basically, if he draws the rails, he'll hug the fence. Where Zinzan Brook, he likes to sort of sit in box three or four and he's happy to be where he is and he'll probably even roll off a little bit into the corner, into straightening up because he builds up so much momentum. So, basically, Judicial Man will probably... He has drawn the red a couple of times when I have had him, and he's always began half a length in front of the field. You know, whether or not he can do that against the ilk of Brocky and, you know, a few other dogs in the race. But I'd be pretty confident he'd hold him out to the first mark. It's just whether or not Zinzan Brook, who hasn't got the same box manners as Judicial Man, you know, can loom up to him really quickly. If he sort of comes out only a neck behind them, I've no doubt he'll at some stage roll to the front. It just depends on, obviously, like I said before, whether Brocky and Judicial Man are colliding, you know, trying to get into the same position, or if Brocky's happy enough just to sit outside Judicial Man. I would say that he would probably get over the top of him late, but if that's not the case, it wouldn't surprise me to see Zinzan Brook skip away in the race.
Were you impressed with Black Mumbo, who ran down Aston Bolero in the fastest of the heats?
I thought he was a really good run. He was really well boxed with the scratching. When the scratching was there, I thought he was definitely the smoky of the race and looked really hard to beat. He had got a nice soft run across and found the fence early, and he was really impressive. He's a young dog that has got plenty of ability. It's just I'm not quite sure, you know, whether they're all running around similar time, then sort of dogs drawn wide, you know, to be able to work around sort of three or four dogs in the race and still be able to run them 25-0s is really hard to do. But Black Mumbo is probably one of the run-on jobs in the race. And, you know, if he can sit behind them 1-2-3, and if there is trouble, well, he's obviously a realistic chance. But, you know, I just find it hard to think that, you know, well, I'm hoping the winners, you know, either comes from 1, 2 and 3 for the fact that because they've got so much early pace and speed,
yeah,
it just makes it mathematically impossible to be coming from off the bunny and they're running 25-0s.
And again, similar sort of thing with Judicial Man and Zinzan Brook possibly leading up, Brocky sitting behind them. And, you know, there was only 3 lengths between the 8 heat winners on Friday evening. So it augurs for an extremely competitive final. Best of luck, mate. We'll speak with you on At The Boxes on Wednesday evening on Sky Racing 2 at 6 p.m. where we'll preview not only the Group 2 Ballarat Cup final, we'll also preview the Dapto Puppy Classic and the Brisbane Cup heats. I'll see you trackside on Friday night.
Thanks, Duke.
Jamie Ennis there, who, as I said, I really do think that he holds the key to the Group 2 Ballarat Cup final with his two runners, Judicial Man and Zinzan Brook. And you obviously gather from that conversation there that Jamie thinks Zinzan Brook is probably the best of his two runners. Currently $6 with tab.com.au. Favourite is Zambora Brocky at $2.10. Equal second picks in the market. Judicial Man from box 1 and Weekend Binge from box 7. They're both at $5. $6 Zinzan Brook. And then we go out to $10 for American Monster, who's drawn box number 6. The Ruffies in the race, Diego Bale and Tigalon Cruz, both at $18. Well, it's the end of an era this Saturday at the legendary and iconic Tweed Heads Border Park Greyhound Club. It's been sold and it will be no more after this Saturday afternoon. And the general manager of the club, Steve McGrath, joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Duke. And may I say happy birthday?
Thank you very much. I guess there's a sense of disappointment that it comes, you know, everything's coming to an end, but with that comes the expectations of what may happen in the future.
Well, that's right, Mark. You know, there's always going to be that element of sadness about Border Park, the iconic venue, being closed, but you can't look backward in life. You've got to look forward, and looking forward, we only hope that we can build possibly the first centre of excellence in New South Wales, and have that as a benchmark for everybody else to try to equal.
We'll talk about the future in just a moment. I just want to talk about the past and, you know, people such as Harry Pledger and Norm Ahrens who were responsible for getting the track up and running. And without those two people, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about Tweed Heads today. And they had the foresight many, many years ago, Steve, to they mortgaged their houses without telling their wives. They bought the land.
Norm mortgaged his house to purchase the land, Mark, and didn't tell his wife. And then what happened was Harry and the committee decided to bring out the benches and sell them to members, of which Harry brought most of them after placing a second mortgage on his house without telling his wife, and that was to put the lighting in at the place.
It's amazing to think that people would do that to follow their passion, Stevie.
Oh, most certainly. You know, the more we delve back into the past, Norm used to just turn up at the old recreation grounds when the club was over there. One of his sons was a bookmaker, and that's how he became to know Harry, and then him and Harry decided to buy this block of land, and they did what they did with banks. Bill Bryant was a local bank manager then, and he helped them across the line with the mortgages and everything else. But those were the good old days when people used to actually get out of their way to help each other.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And we've seen some great greyhounds race there. Of course, Tweed Heads was the home of the Tweed Heads Galaxy at one stage. And I think it got up to, was it $60,000 first place prize money? It used to be run on the Queen's Birthday Monday.
I think the highest it got to was 50 to the winner, Mark. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was 50 in my day. It may have got a little bit higher than that prior to me. And, of course, then you've got the fastest dog to go around here was, of course, Bright Ebony at 23.04. And if any dog can beat that and be the fastest on Saturday, I'll give him $5,000.
Oh, well, there's a challenge.
So
I've had a look at the times, and I think you're $5,000 safe.
I think I'm pretty safe at this stage, even though
you
I'm
lousy
say,
thing.
Leroy Rogue jumped very ordinary, and then they opened up like the Heads of Sydney, and it just charged straight through. And it has been trialling well, but I still think it would be a push for it to get down to the 23.04.
Yeah, he's a flying machine, trained by Jeff and Jane Crawford, the track record holder at Capalaba. Okay, tell us about what's happening this Saturday at the track, Stevie, for people who want to get there for the last throw of the dice at Tweed Heads.
Last throw of the dice. There will be a jumping castle here for the kids, so anybody that wants to bring the kids to jumping castle will be here. There'll be a free sausage sizzle for the people. It's free admission to get in. I am asking that everybody stay because I'm putting the Harry Pledger down as the last race. I think it's, as you know, Mark, there's a lot of prestige with winning the last race at a venue. So I thought not only should it be the Harry Pledger race, it should be the last race.
And it's worth $10,000 to the winner as well. The heats were conducted there on Saturday.
Yeah, heats were conducted on Saturday. $10,000 to the winner. Norm Ahrens will be race 9 with $10,000 to the winner of it. You've got past members will be $4,000 to the winner of it, and it's race 7. And race 5, which will be the Twin Towns Maidens, $3,000 a winner. And then the rest of the program, I'll give most likely $1,000 to every race.
You're a big-hearted, benevolent fellow, aren't you?
I am. I know. I'm a softy.
Listen, tell us about the future then. You've met with Grace Grace, the Queensland Racing Minister. Have you managed to have a meeting with Greyhound Racing New South Wales officials?
I've met with Patrick Hellenden and John Gibbon.
Who's the administrator of GRNSW?
The administrator. And unfortunately, they're in a position where they can't really give you too many answers, Duke. So we have to wait until such time. I've asked them to see if they could seek a meeting with me with either the Minister for Racing or his advisor to give us some sort of indication of what may be happening in the state of New South Wales. Because the longer we sit on our hands, the longer it is before people in this state will see a brand new track.
Yeah, and it's not as if it's something that you can build in 2 months.
Oh, no, Mark, it's going to take most likely 10 months to build, and then you've still got to get through all the city council's requirements and everything before you can get a block of land with a DA on it to build a racetrack. All those things still got to be achieved, so we need to start pushing that barrier very hard to ensure that, you know, me and you aren't sitting here in 3 years' time saying, oh, it's just around the corner like we thought the sale was.
Yeah, exactly. Years. And it'd be nice to think that there may be a board appointed to Greyhound Racing New South Wales sometimes within, I don't know, maybe the next 10 years, given that it's now 18-odd months, or longer than 18 months since that board was dismissed by the then racing minister and still racing minister, Troy Grant. Whether or not it'll be the racing minister in the future is a question to be answered by Mike Baird, with the cabinet reshuffle due to happen extremely quickly.
At a meeting yesterday of most of the Sydney, most of the clubs at the GBOTA annual general meeting and the Country Tracks Association after that, it was indicated that they hope to have a board in place by about June.
June what, 2020?
No, they did happen to think 17, but
right.
You know, don't hold your breath.
I won't do that, but I tell you what, I can't wait.
Why are you a beer on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm coming. I'll be at Tweed Heads this Saturday for the last throw of the dice,
and
for the last hurrah.
Do, Mark, after the last, as showing you how big-hearted I really am, after the last, I'm going to invite every person here out onto the straight, and I'm going to give them a can of beer and let's toast the track.
Oh, good on you, mate. I'll be up there filing a story on the catching pen, so I'll make sure I get that done nice and early so I can enjoy the festivities. Stevie, I hope it's a massive success, mate, and as I said, I'll see you Saturday.
All right, mate. See you, mate.
Steve McGrath there from the Tweed Heads Border Park Greyhound Club, and, well, it is. It's the end of an era. The curtain comes down this Saturday afternoon. The last race will be the Harry Pledger with $10,000 to the winner. The track has been sold. They've got a war chest of funds. You just heard from Steve. He's trying to spend it in New South Wales. If they don't come to the party, I'm tipping that they'll hop across the border, and I'm sure that, I know that they've already received a very good hearing from Grace, the Queensland Racing Minister. Let's hope something comes to fruition and that money and that track stays in the far north of New South Wales. Saturday night at Ipswich, it was a big night, and that man did it again. Tony Brett, Quinella, the Group 3 Ipswich Gold Cup final. Good morning, Tone.
Morning, mate. You're like a good wine, just getting better with age. Birthday.
Ah, thank you, buddy. 30 talks. We spoke a few weeks ago off air, and I said to you, you must be so frustrated, the bad boxes he'd drawn. And on Saturday night, he got his box. He had box one. He came off a terrific 30-03 win in his heat 1 week earlier. He put it all together and he claimed victory.
Yeah, Mark, it was just so good to see. And, mate, all grand trainers, we always whinge about box draws, but he's just had his fair share of bad draws. And, mate, not so much. It can make or break a dog. They just change their habits. Like, he hadn't drawn inside four for about 15 starts and he was starting to become a wide runner and just finding trouble trying to get around dogs rather than just doing what he can do and get on the fence and just put the foot down. So, mate, for his confidence, that'll do him 100%.
His confidence was back 1 week prior, Tony. He ran 30-03. The track record is 30-01, held by Queen Lauren, who you also trained, and she set that mark back in July 2008. Did that time surprise you by 30 talks of 30-03, or did you know he had it in him?
A little bit. I mean, I know how good Queen Lauren was, and it's a bit like the Brett Lee track record. It was one of those that I just thought, well, I'll just never break that at Ipswich. Like, nothing. They've gotten within about three lengths of it. And that's one or two good dogs, but nothing close to it. And I probably thought he was a 30-20, 30-15 dog, that sort of thing. So to see him just run those sort of sections and get that close, it just... it opened my eyes a bit just to how fast this dog is, yeah.
30-21 he clocked on Saturday evening. You'd be hoping the good box draws continue this Thursday night. Of course, we've got heats of the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup to be staged at Albion Park. And I imagine you'll also have a fair number of runners nominated, Tone, including Zabden Ferrari, who ran second to 30 talks on Saturday.
Yeah, mate, he'll be in it for sure. He's pulled up real good from Saturday night. He was a bit jaded from the heat the week before and took a few days for him to get over it. But so I was real happy with his run on Saturday night. And like I said, he's pulled up better this week than last week. So I expect him to sort of go well in the series. And I've nominated What a Nice Size. And I've actually put a nom in for the Young Pup Jury. Mate, Brisbane Cup on your home turf only comes once a year. And good experience for him, so I've put him in as well. So I'll have a few there, mate, yeah.
Jerry, I'll just ask you quickly about him. I know that Steve Williams was a bit surprised that you said to him you're going to have a throw at the stumps with the Ipswich Cup, because at that stage you'd only had six starts. He won his heat in 30-37, and his run on Saturday night wasn't that bad. He only finished, five lengths behind 30 talks, running 30-58. You obviously have a big opinion of this pup.
Yeah, mate, he's sort of carved his opinion on me. Like, he's always shown ability, and his early trials were good. And but he's learnt a lot. He's just picked up the bit and run with it the last few weeks. And like I said to Steve, mate, like, young dogs, they can get battered around running against sort of dogs that are a bit all over the show that have sort of only had their few starts. So getting in amongst good dogs, and he got beaten on Saturday night, and that's just experience, Mark. I expected him to run a nice race, but when you're up against dogs like 30 Talks and Zabdon, like they're Melbourne Cup dogs.
Yeah, group greyhounds.
Yeah, exactly. But made a great learning curve. He got a little bit lost and down the middle sort of section, but going to the line, mate, he was going as good as Zabdon, as good as Major Jackpot, and I know how good they are. So, no, mate, it's good for him, and like I said, we'll have a crack at the Brisbane Cup, and then we'll go and hopefully find him some confidence-boosting races. And, he's got a nice future ahead of him.
Good stuff. Best of luck coming into these heats on Thursday night, and well done on taking out the Ipswich Gold Cup final, Tone.
Really appreciate it, mate. Take care.
Tony Brett there, and Cozzie is one of the great guys in greyhound racing. He's a terrific trainer, and he learnt the trade from his dad, the late Dave Brett, and he's always got a very, very good dog in his kennel. This Friday night, of course, the Group 2 Ballarat Cup final will be live trackside at Ballarat on Friday night. Then I'm hopping on a plane Saturday morning. I'll be at Tweed Heads for the last ever meeting there. We'll have that story on the Catching Pen on Tuesday week. As well as that, obviously, the Dapto Puppy Classic to be staged this Thursday night. So a big 24 or 48 hours coming up in greyhound racing. You'll see all the all the latest news and information on the Catching Pen on Tuesday evening, and at the boxes on Wednesday night. We'll preview the Ballarat Cup final. We'll also preview the Sky Racing Brisbane Cup heats and the Dapto Puppy Classic.
Good on you, Duke. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Cozzie.